Sunshine, a pop-up storm on Friday, high 92. Richard Wedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Good morning and welcome in. It's the hump day edition, the Wednesday edition of Inside the Locker Room, 205-342-9904. Feels good outside this morning, so get out and enjoy the fresh air. But maybe I heard some rain coming maybe later on today. 205-342-9904, as always, the first hour is wide open. If you guys want to jump in on the show with us this morning, download the app, get the Tide 100.9 app. We've been getting some app messages. We had one yesterday that I'll read here in just a minute. Somebody was getting on Tom because Tom was being negative on his call yesterday at the end about the coaching staff there. So he was being negative about that. But anyway, if you want to email us, wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. We want to thank Yellowwood, pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. If you want to build the five-star backyard, then Yellowwood would be your only choice. Go to yellowwood.com to find a dealer close to you. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. All right. Getting close, guys. Getting close. Decent games this weekend. Nothing great, but I think people just want to watch football. We'll have our picks in a few days here, or Thursday and Friday, I guess. So those are coming, brought to you by Brian Harden Construction and Kettle Corn. We'll talk about those guys throughout the show. Good morning, Chase. How are you, sir? Good morning, Dad. How are you?
I'm doing fine. We mourn the loss of Dottie Parton from Sevierville, Tennessee. Has a statue there. She was a fine lady. I had the great honor of being able to meet her in Japan. Our basketball team was over, and Kentucky was there. And we were just kind of touring, and ran into Dolly Parton, introduced myself to her, had a picture made. And she was a very fine lady. I know a lot of the sports people enjoyed watching her sing and the kind of person that she was. So, sure, sorry about that. She was 80 years old. Noah Rogers, the wide receiver that got in Alabama's transfer portal, they say is going to be a helper for Alabama. He came from Ohio State originally, so I think that's news, somewhat news. Of course, the biggest news probably is the Big Ten and SEC have banned players from coming back from the NFL and going into the their teams. The problem is that Lane Kiffin says that they're being retroactive every kind of. Not right to do that, so Barry can discuss that with you if he wishes. That's about all. I do have a, generally Barry's controversial. I'll wait till we have a few more listeners on our show, and then I'll give you a controversial situation with Alabama football. That'll be interesting. I'm not going to give it now because most people don't listen when I talk. So anyway, that's about it. The quarterback that was at Alabama and DCU and now is at Rutgers left here. Lonergan, I'm pronouncing that correct. Softball coach that was at Alabama for a long time has breast cancer. She's now at LSU. HABET. I'm not sure how to pronounce her name, so I probably shouldn't announce it when I can't do that. So welcome your calls if you want to talk about anything particularly. We'll be happy to try to do that for you.
Yeah, so it sounds like the Power Four leagues are kind of joining. I think Notre Dame's going to come out and say the same thing. Of course, people say, well, they're going to take them to court. Well, I mean, you can take them to court, but you can't force schools to take a player. Like, it's not – it's because you won a lawsuit does not mean that LSU or Alabama or Florida has to take you. It's, they have to want you and offer you a scholarship. So, you know, Lane Kiffin's gripe is you can't decide which court cases you want to pick and choose which ones you are going to follow. Like, you've got the quarterback for – Ole Miss that's coming back, who's getting the 6 year. He got an injunction. So you've had several guys like that. Now you have these NFL guys, or these 2022s that got the injunction, but you're not going to honor that. That's his biggest gripe. I'm not sure he's 100% wrong on it, but Will Wade bringing that basketball player back, that was a joke. And so I think these presidents now are starting to presidents and ADs are getting on the same page, and if they say, if Greg Sankey and those guys and all the presidents, well, maybe it's 15-1, maybe LSU says we're going to fight it, that they give him the right to put penalties on you if you take these guys and play them, I don't think anybody will. And so, I mean, you can take it to court all you want, but if these guys follow what the conference says, they don't have to take any of these guys. So they can go to the Conference USA and all those places down. So it may make those teams better, but well, those guys want to go there because there won't be a very big payday if you go there. So the lawyers about to lose a little bit of money on all this stuff, and they can go fight it all they want, but you can't make these schools take kids, right? I mean, you can't make them take anybody. So I think this will hold up, actually, for once.
I think it will. I don't think you can make them do so. They can always kind of they can always have an excuse as to why you did it and so forth. Yeah, I agree. I won't get into that. I don't think they will.
Yeah, I don't think they'll. The LSU basketball, I think they just lost, you know, three or four guys that they had coming, and football, I don't think I'll be able to take those two guys. And so, I don't know. That's, I think all the publicity now that's getting and the negativity towards pro guys trying to come back. I disagree with people that say this College Sports Act won't pass. I think it will pass.
I do too.
I think it'll definitely pass.
Yeah, I've said that from day one.
Yeah, I think people are appalled at what's going on, to be quite honest with you. To be able to jump around to these schools and be eligible, and the academics have taken a hit. So and these guys are making crazy money now. So I don't think guys will declare now unless you are darn sure that you're going to be a first-round pick or whatever. I think these guys will stay in college now a lot longer because they can make the NIL money. So I don't think you'll see as many guys jumping, do you?
No, you will not.
Yeah.
You go where the money is, and if the money is in college, you're not going to jump.
For sure money, for sure, yeah. Because when you go to the pros, it's, unless you're a first-round draft pick, your money's not guaranteed. Now, the only one I didn't understand is they did not say, and this could come up, anything about minor league baseball. There's some guys that were drafted, and I'm assuming that they will not let the baseball guys come back as well. They said WNBA, NBA, NFL, but nothing about baseball. Why do you think that is? I have no idea why. That could be a lot of guys that were in the minor leagues that had years left that want to come back. So I don't know. I did not see that. That was the only thing that was a little bit surprising.
Every time we talk about changes the next day.
But I think it's like Notre Dame's going to get on board. I think the ACC is about to get on board. I think the Big 12 is on board. And the Big 10 is on board. So now the other conferences aren't. So that might be a opportunity for them to pick up some players that they normally couldn't get, right? So it might make a Memphis or a UAB or somebody like that better, because they can go get guys now that the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the ACC can't take.
Well, I had thought that the Big 12 was going to go along with it, but maybe I'm wrong. I thought I saw that, but maybe.
Yeah, I think they
I
are.
I thought they were meeting, yeah. And I think they're going to go along with it. I mean, they've got, the Big 12's got a lot of teams. It's got a pile of them. Yeah. And a pile of players, so we'll see.
Well, the UABs and the Memphises, the Jacksonville States, and the, but you know, once again, UNLV, those type of teams, they right now they're not saying anything, so it might be an opportunity for those guys to go pick up some guys that they normally couldn't get. All right, we'll take a first break. Got a couple phone calls coming in. We'll get to you guys when we get back from break. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC, it's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We are moving swell on the neighborhood freeways and side streets. We're looking at road construction in the area, however. If you're traveling on 43 between Rose Boulevard and Paul Howell Road, you do have that road work. Also in Coker, Highway 82, both east pedals.
Athletes of all ages and abilities are invited to compete. Learn more about sports, registration, and academic scholarship opportunities at allagames.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier, so I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Wet weather headed our way here today. We'll start things off with sunshine. 94 gentle westerly breezes. Afternoon storms become likely later today. And with those storms, temperatures will fall into the upper 80s. Wet storms are likely tonight. Lows tonight at 73. Cloudy scattered thunderstorms tomorrow, 92. Sunshine, a pop-up storm on Friday, high 92. Richard Wedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Stay up to date with the Crimson Tide,
local high school sports, and Bama in the pros right here
on Tide 100.9.
To inside the locker room, Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If you want to build the 5-star backyard, then Yellowwood would be your only choice. To the Yellowwood hotline. Good morning, Philip.
Hey, Phil. Okay. The Save College Sports Act got a huge assist yesterday. what happened yesterday probably covered about 75 to 80% of that act. So yes, it will pass. And yesterday was a big assist for the Save College Sports Act, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think as far as the SEC goes, I mean, you know, the presidents are probably so busy doing, you know, other things that they probably first had a chance. I mean, not if they don't understand it, I'm saying they do, but they probably had a chance to hear the commissioner talking about how ridiculous this stuff has gotten, and they were probably appalled when they were sitting in that room. I don't know. Dad, your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are certainly correct thoughts. The commissioner sits down with these people yesterday, and you have your 16 college presidents, and explains things to them. I'm telling you right now, every time I say this, y'all just pass right on by it, but the judges sometimes don't know what they're judging on. Part of them don't. And when you get to the presidents of the universities, they got a lot of things going on besides sports. And when the commissioner can come in and visit with them and talk to them and explain it to them, as Philip said, or something like that, then it's got a better chance. I thought it was going to pass all along anyway. But I think it's got a better chance to pass now because you got to have clarification to understand the way you're voting. And you need that anyway, not because you're Republican and Democrat, but because you understand a little bit more.
So. Right. Guys, y'all pull out the Indiana, Ohio State, Michigan, and I guess Oregon schedules if you can today. I just want to say this. I've looked at all those schedules, and the top 6 to 8 teams in the Southeastern Conference would go 11-1, 10-2 at worst with Indiana's schedule. Some will go undefeated. Some will go undefeated. Michigan, Ohio State, and Oregon, the top 8 SEC teams would probably all have 9 wins and in some cases 10 or more wins with their schedule.
Well, if you want to use the word easiest, because I've studied it, and Indiana's going to win the Big Ten. Is Indiana's. They're going to have the best schedule. Ohio State's going to play some non-conference people, Texas, and people like that, Southern Cal. And so Indiana, it's going to be, in my opinion, and of course my opinion is not always right, is Indiana and Georgia as the two teams that will win the two leagues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't disagree with you at all. But just if you guys get a chance, look at those schedules.
Well, I'm looking at Ohio State's schedule. I'll push back a little bit with you on that schedule. The second game's at Texas. That wouldn't be any easy chore for any.
No.
They got Illinois, and they do have them at home. But Illinois is better than you think, probably. They have to go to Iowa. Iowa's tough to play over at Iowa. They go to Indiana. They go to USC. They got Oregon. They have to go to Nebraska, and they have Michigan. I think that's a pretty tough schedule for Ohio
State.
That's
not bad. Michigan's not bad. I mean, I looked at Michigan's schedule, and I envisioned Alabama playing that schedule. And that's their fourth games right there that Alabama would have a tough time winning based on what we know about Alabama the previous 2 years. But those games, USC, Illinois, and all those games, to me, if you take the first 6-7 teams or so in the SEC, are all winnable type games.
I would say I'm looking at Michigan's here. They have to play Oklahoma, but it is at home. They got Penn State at home. They got Indiana at home. They do go to Oregon and they do go to Ohio State. So I don't think
I don't think
there's a lot of SEC teams that I don't think there's any, but maybe one SEC team that would be favored at Oregon or at Ohio State.
Michigan to me has got the toughest.
Yeah. So.
Well, I studied them pretty hard myself, and of course Georgia's sitting there in great shape in the SEC because they don't play A&M or Texas, and that's a pretty good pick for them.
Yes, it is.
So, I think the Big Ten's a little better than we give it credit for. When you start adding Oregon and USC and those type of teams, I don't think you think of those guys as Big Ten. Now there is some. There are some bad teams in there, but Illinois is a team that can beat you. Indiana's obviously speaking. Iowa's no fun to play. Maryland's not very good. Michigan State's down. Michigan, you know, they're solid. Minnesota, not great. Nebraska, you know, I don't think you want to go to Lincoln, but, you know, they haven't won big. Northwestern's probably not very good. Ohio State and Oregon are both good. Penn State, that's a tough place to go. Purdue's no good. Rutgers, no good. UCLA and then USC, Washington, and Wisconsin. So, a lot of teams in that league. That's a lot.
Phillip, a lot of fun for you would be to take a line and draw it in between and put the teams that are bad below that line in the SEC and then draw the line in the Big Ten and see where the Minnesotas and those people go and see who you think before we even play has the difference is that the SEC is deeper. They've got more, I think, but if you draw the line, you can tell me tomorrow. You draw the line and tell me the five teams in the Big Ten that are not, you don't like, and the three or four Vanderbilts or whatever that you don't like and see what the number comes out at.
You know, the problem with the Big Ten, and of course the East Coast teams aren't that good, but I mean, you're traveling across three time zones sometimes for games. And that may not sound like much, but you travel from California to Rutgers and you play and then you have to fly back, you know, you're getting back, you're losing a day or two of preparation just because you're you're worn out from flying back and forth. Those are some long flights that those guys got to get through.
Especially if you do it on Friday.
Yeah.
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 But, get one of those line games, Coach Sanderson, too, because Mississippi State plays Minnesota.
Yeah. Give me an idea, won't it? Yeah.
Yes, sir. Sure, it might. But anyway, God bless Dolly Parton. I'm glad I got to live my life watching her perform and entertain us.
She's terrific.
An amazing American.
She never aged. Dolly Parton never aged. That's pretty amazing.
I'm going to miss her.
Yeah, she's good. Thank you, Phil. Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Pat?
Hey, man. She's your demo. Hey, man, PNP 58. Man, hey, question. I'm hearing that LSU's looking at four of those players that y'all talking about coming back into the NFL. Is that true?
They can look all they want, but they can't take them.
How come?
Because the SEC just passed it.
Just passed it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So all no right. Pros can come back from the WNBA, NBA, G League, or NFL. They can't. They're not eligible to come back to the SEC.
I wasn't aware of this. This happened yesterday afternoon.
Yeah. They met with the commissioners. The commissioner met with all the presidents, the ADs, and they came out and.
It is today.
Well, they met yesterday. They're gonna meet again today as well.
All right.
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
All right.
That's what I wanted to know. Hey, you guys, and Coach Sanderson, I love hearing your voice. You said people don't like listening to you, but not many people listen to you. I love listening to you, Coach Sanderson. I hope to hear your voice for the next 20 years that you live here.
I'm not going to make that.
You have a blessed one. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. All right.
I want to mention that today is Robert Horry's birthday, and I put a little note on the iPad yesterday about him. And he's a guy that I stayed after all the time because I thought he could be good, and I wore him out. And the one thing about him, and I talk about all of our players, is that he had a great mother, and he had a very, very tough high school coach. And the high school coach didn't take any crap off of him either. So congratulations to Robert for another birthday.
Yep, happy birthday, big shot, Bob. The Braves, big win last night, beat the Dodgers.
Yeah, sure did.
4-3. They put that Iglesias in. I don't know if you guys follow the Braves. We watch them every night. We had a little flag football game last night, but got back. Every time they put Iglesias in, Chase, he gives up hits. Hit after hit after hit. But he will never – they'll get the – tie and run on second or whatever, and he gets out of it. So they put him in, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they're putting in Iglesias. It's 4-3, Chase. Shohei Ohtani hits a triple off of him. The first batter hits a triple. And I'm like, why do they keep putting this guy in? And so they got the tie and run on third. He strikes out the next batter, next guy grounds out, and next guy flies out, and he gets out of it again. And the Braves knock off the Dodgers 4-3. That was a good win for the Braves. So, anyway.
Let me give one controversial thing that I ran into yesterday because I got more listeners now than when I speak. These listeners that I ran into are upset because there's some blue in the football stadium. And they say that the blue is this, that if you go to section 104, section 103, section 102, whatever section you go to see where you're going to be to see the game, they have a mat there in blue with a red A in it. And that there should be never be any blue in Bryant-Denny Stadium. And God, they were going goofy over it. And have you seen that? And I said, I don't know.
What are you talking about? Like a sign?
No, it's a sign. The mat looks like it. Looks like the field is blue, and the A is in the blue. And if you go to section 103, 104, wherever you're going to sit, the sections are numbered now, according to these people. And when you see the section and you see the A is in a field of blue. And they think it's ridiculous to put blue in Bryant-Denny Stadium, and their race and came with the AD and all that kind of stuff. So
hopefully, I don't know. They're going to feel bad, and I don't know that if the blue stands for handicap, which would normally is what the blue is for. So
well, they're
complaining about the handicap. Shame on them, but I don't know that's what they're complaining about. People complain about everything.
Oh, hot about that blue.
Blue. All right, we'll get back to the Yellowwood hotline. Tom, what's up, buddy?
Good morning, Barry. Good morning, Coach. How are y'all?
We're good. How are you, Tom?
How are you? I'm good. I've got a question, if you don't mind tolerating my question.
Go ahead, buddy.
The president, you're telling me that the commissioners met with the president and had to explain to them what was going on. And I get it. The president's got more on their plate, like Coach said, than sports. I get that part. And they met with them and they decided and said, you know what? We ain't got to put up with this crap because we control the purse strings. And we are fixing to kill the golden goose that laid the golden egg if we don't step up here and do something. Now, what took so long to figure that out?
I think it had to happen in
football. Are they that scared of it had to happen
it had to happen in football. You know, you got all these pro guys coming back, and so when it happens in football, they sit up and take notice. So when you start bringing NFL guys back, then that's when they finally say, all right, now we got to do something. So they don't really care about the other sports, Tom. But when football starts doing it and you start getting a lot of negative publicity, and this media was...
I'll give Barry that, the important... You say it all the time. You said you knew when you were coaching basketball at the University of Alabama that football was the engine that drove the money train. And you said that a bunch of times. I get that part. But my question, once again, is... Why does it take so much bad stuff to happen before people in decision-making positions act to stop bad stuff from happening? You see my point there, Coach?
Well,
you see what I'm trying
point,
to get across
the Barry? My point is that you had judges that didn't know what they were talking about, didn't understand things,
right.
And the judges... yeah, today is yes, tomorrow is no. Today is this, tomorrow is that. And so when you get that, so what your commissioner does is, now we've heard this, we've heard that, we've heard this, something else, we've heard this. I know you guys are busy.
Exactly 16, right.
There's 16 of you, but let me clarify this to you now so that you'll understand it. And the reason I'm clarifying this to you is that we're fixing to have the Sports Act voted on, and we need to be sure that it's passed.
I think you had to also, Tom, sometimes you have to get everybody in the room, you know, and you had to get them all on the same page, because right now LSU was doing whatever the heck they wanted to do. They didn't care what the rules were.
That's a great point. That not only are they doing what they want to right now, they've been doing it.
Yes.
They've been doing it, and nobody's addressed it. It's kind of like the bully, you know. Well, we'll get around to it next Friday, but it never gets here. And I mean, I don't understand. Let me say this, Barry. I think you'll agree with me on this. So far, you haven't agreed with anything, but that's fine. When you got the purse strings, and they've already, and Tony brought it up yesterday, but Tony, I ain't trying to knock you, but it's already been brought up before. That if you didn't comply with the rules of the conference, we'll just take it out of your paycheck every year down at Destin. They already floated that idea. When you control the purse strings, look how important money is to sports now.
But let me say this to you, Tom.
Okay.
The reason the SEC did this, now, do you think if the Big Ten says, I don't care what the SEC does, we're taking NFL guys, we'll take NBA guys, we'll take whoever, the SEC coaches be sitting there saying, ain't no way. We ain't letting them take guys we can't take.
Yeah, you're right.
When they said they're not going to take them, then they said, all right, if they're not going to take them, then we're not going to take them. But we'll let the Conference USA have them. They ain't going to have enough to beat us anyway. If they don't take them, but if they're taking them, we're taking them. And that's the way you had to get all four of them on the same page. Please.
You know what? That is a great point. We're not going to sit here and let them kick our rear end.
That's right.
That's no coach.
Well, that's a recruiting advantage if they can take guys you can't. And
my point is, okay, it happened. You said it happened yesterday, but Barry, what I'm saying to you is I don't think it should have took that long.
Well, probably not.
Some of this stuff that you would have said, you know, we're not going to do it that way. We're not going to do it that way, and if you do, it's going to cost. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You think that's true?
I think it's true, but I think you have certain presidents and ADs that kind of let things go on, certain say we're not doing that. And so now I think they're all the same. And you can't make these SEC teams. They can take it to court all you want. Well, but you can't make these teams take these kids, Tom.
Tom, it's not a thorough understanding of what's going on.
I wish y'all turn the volume up.
Talk louder. Go ahead.
It's not a thorough understanding by the president of what's going on and for a long time, because it's been changed by the judges, and they just don't know what's going on. So let me clarify this to you. As he gets those guys, 16 of them in the room, let me clarify you what's going on, what's going on now, and what we can how we can help our league. That's what I think.
Exactly. You're exactly right. I think something else, too. We've been up here. All these judges, they're so low down and corrupt. And, you know, that's not true. Maybe some or one or two or something, but not, you
they
know.
They don't understand.
You're exactly right. When they don't know, they don't know. Yeah. And where do they come from? The law school. What do they do at the law school? Debate. They come up with 400 different scenarios, and that's what they live off of. And you're exactly right. They don't freaking know. And these presidents, you're exactly right again. They don't keep up with this crap and argue about it like we do.
And all those ADs had to do was stand up in that room and say, guys, we're losing the fans. The guys aren't buying the boxes anymore. We got 10 boxes still available because people are sick and tired of all this stuff going on. We better get it stopped now. We're going to lose more and more every year. There's a lot of people here in Tuscaloosa that are absolutely disgusted, and they had a waiting list to get those boxes. But that waiting list, I guarantee you, is not as long as it used to be.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I'll tell you this right here. I got to the point I'd had doubts without going to even watch it on TV. I mean, I was.
Oh, you're going to watch. You're going to watch. You'll watch it,
Tom. You're right in the end. Okay, all right.
You're going to watch. You're going to watch.
You said the same thing.
That ain't good radio there. You're
going to have your little bathroom cleaned up, have a fresh thing of toilet paper and your beverages and your food full. You're going to watch now. You're going to watch, Tom.
You said the same thing, Barry. You can get off of it.
So, you gonna watch.
All right, love the show. I'll see y'all.
Thank you. You gonna watch. All right, when we have those blue plate specials, gonna be brought to you by Brian Harden Construction. You need precision, power, and performance. Brian Harden Construction has been delivering top quality steel fabrication, welding, and 24/7 crane rentals for over 30 years. Family owned, woman led, safety driven. Give them a call. 205-759-1337. Go to bharden.com. We appreciate Braxton and those guys sponsoring the Blue Plate Special again this year. Hopefully, I already got my winner picked for week one. I hope we don't have the same game. I looked at it yesterday, and I could not believe the line. So it's probably a trick line. I'm not going to tell y'all, but there's one game out there to me that's like, and I'm afraid the line's going to go up. I want to go ahead and tell y'all who it is, but I guess I can't do that because we got to go.
You can't do that. We're going to have the same things probably.
Yeah. It's one game out there that this don't look right. So maybe I should go the other way, Chase. Chase, I'm going to tell you who it is during the break, and so you write it down, and we'll see if the line goes up over the next week and a half. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We are moving right along, but things are getting a lot more volumized if you're traveling on the Northport freeways. 69 southbound at Union Chapel. Watch out for heavy delays. Those are going to take you back to Charlie Shirley Road. And we got the usual slows on 43 southbound onto McFarland. Actually, not.
That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room, right here on Tide 100.9.
Pressure treated pine from Great Southern Wood. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want. We're pretty busy in the second hour. Ryan Grubb met with the media yesterday. Instead of clipping it up, it's like 10 minutes. So we'll play that, and then Dad and I'll come back very positive. These guys are very positive when they meet with the media. So here is Coach Grubb. Nothing wrong with positive. I like positive. Here's Coach Grubb yesterday after practice.
Good. Really good. Really good. Who's up?
Was there a moment where you kind of knew, hey, this is going to be my starting quarterback?
I think there's moments. I don't think there's one particular moment. You win any quarterback job through a cumulative process, and certainly Keelan did that. And, you know, we're excited, man. I'm excited for him. He is really taking the bull by the horns as a starter and, you know, embodied that and, you know, just taking command of the field, everything that you think, like, oh, is the young quarterback going to be able to do that? But we got a ton of confidence in him, and he's playing confident. He's operating at an incredibly high level right now, so we're really excited for him.
Can you tell us about one of those moments?
You know, for me, I think one time we were down in the red zone, and we got a zeroed out look, and he knew the check to get to for protection and make the big throw down there in the red zone on a third down. And clock's ticking, you know, you're going under 10 seconds, and defense gets into a tough look and a pressure moment. Just having the ability to, you know, get to your training, fall back on your training, and let it happen. You know, and that was one, I believe it was in the second scrimmage he did, that was really, really good.
How have you seen Keelan, I guess, grow in terms of his demeanor, interaction with, like, receivers, confidence? How have you seen that grow?
Yeah. Well, two things with Keelan. I've always thought he's a very confident kid. But at the same time, I think there's people that present as confident. And there's people that are authentic. And I think that's the part for Keelan, you know, just stressing to him, just keep being yourself. And that's really what draws his teammates to him, is that he's an authentic guy. You know, the enthusiasm, the confidence is all real. And, you know, when he doesn't know, he's not too ego driven to ask, you know, and those are the things I think that draw his teammates to him.
Where's his game at right now recently?
Way ahead of schedule. You know, that's what I'd say. I'm way ahead of schedule. I think there's some of those things that you think, you know, you hope, you anticipate for all the quarterbacks, you know, what they're going to be able to do and develop and where he's going to be pre-snap. But I think his mechanics and just having – a lot of time it's really just having discipline from play to play. Like, you know exactly where your eyes should be, what defender is going to give you the keys you need, and then being consistent with that process. So for him, I thought over the summer and into camp, he really honed that process down of being trained with his eyes pre-snap. So I think he's, I'd say, ahead of schedule. Is he a 10-year vet? No, not yet, right? You're still reminding him of stuff, but I think he's doing a really good job.
How much can the offense really settle in now that you're less than 2 weeks out from the season, you have the quarterback names and the other positions kind of settling down and
yeah,
prepared for the season?
Well, I think, you know, not just the offense, but I think the football team, you know, and that's been every quarterback battle I've been part of is, you know, guys get named a starter, and I think it just naturally, it's human nature for guys to just fall into spots and be like, okay, that's behind us, and there's no more, you know, discussions. It's just, it is what it is, and guys can move on, you know, and for both those players, for both the quarterbacks, too, to be able to settle in and start driving into their role. Really good. You know, Rico is a guy, I don't say I was nervous about. I was nervous for him just because he had had some health issues during the summer, and we had to be super cautious with him leading into camp where we didn't set him behind. But I've been wildly impressed with his process as far as understanding what his body needs and how to get himself ready so he can stay out there. Because I think sometimes guys come back, they get overstrained at camp, and it sets them back and they can't play. You know, Rico of late, his contested catches have really picked up. And really one of the things that stood out to me is Rico's starting to practice like the physical player that he is more consistently. It's not that he never did. He's a super physical, high-effort guy that's in a lot of special teams as well, and it's starting to show up all the time instead of like, man, there's Rico, and then maybe a fall-off here and there, just like any young player. But was really impressed. Like, today stood out to me the way he practiced. Just his demeanor in between was really, really well.
How do you look at these snaps versus scrimmage?
Well, pre-snap, I kind of hit that already. I think he's doing a good job. I thought in the scrimmage he was good, not great. The two practices after that, I thought he was great. So he's continuing to learn from situations. I think his relationship with the O-line is like, for a young quarterback, like just being himself, asking questions, and really for him, I think it starts with him and Racing. You know, like them having the gel together on protection calls and checks and trusting Racing to help get him into the right calls if he needs it. But he's it doesn't matter if it's the DBs or the O-line. Like, Keelan's a relationship builder. That's the type of player and person he is. So, you know, no difference there. And your third one was what?
What do you want to see from him?
Just keep making the plays he makes and stay consistent. I think for him, you know, the only sin right now is that he starts thinking he has to play off schedule. You know, staying on schedule, play within the platform of the game, and he'll be okay.
Speaking of O-line.
Yep.
Have you figured out a five you
want to
go with?
I think we're close. You know, we're right to game week, and it's been pretty consistently the same five. There's still a couple battles that are lingering, specifically Mal and Will have been trading off one reps. Other than that, it's been pretty consistent. Javen at right tackle, he's been taking the lion's share of the one. So we're pretty much there. But, you know, we leave it open to see if anybody shows up in the last couple days before you get to really, you know, we got some game prep in today. But once you get into that final stretch, you know, after Thursday, it's kind of is what it is.
What do conversations between you and Jay Daniels look like in terms of getting skilled players in at the term? Or maybe,
yeah.
I don't know. They're healthy enough or they're.
Yeah. You know, first of all, Coach Nunez is really detailed, does a fantastic job. And one of the things I've always noticed about Coach is that he is open. Like, he knows we have relationships and we watch film on these guys all the time. So if he's struggling with a guy, maybe not giving the right type of effort, or, you know, hey, is this guy taking a few more reps? Is he, you know, does he take a while to learn things? You know, I think he's super communicative in that regard, looking for input, or guys that, hey, who else, you know, catches punts or did in high school, all that kind of stuff. But Jay does a great job. And, you know, we got a couple great kickers. They showcased that today. Both those guys were, I think they both hit a 57 and 58 yarder, something like that. I mean, they're bombing them. So we're pretty fortunate.
When Keelan and Racing are discussing pass protection, who gets the final say?
Keelan. Yep. In our system, the quarterback always has final say. The reason for that is, they got to know the protection scheme in the sense that I know what my problems are. So even if I call it wrong, I know where the man side of the pro is, and if there is an issue, I know where to get the ball out of my hands.
How is Ryan's weight gain
impacting? Man, he's strong. He is. I think it's like his sustainability, and like even today in practice, we did a ton of service reps and things like that, and Ryan's hopping in, you know, anytime. Ones, twos, you know, it's hard for him to wear down right now. So I certainly see, you know, a bigger, stronger kid that just, you know, powers through practices. He's really pretty amazing. He's probably got the competitive stamina he has is probably one of the highest on the football team.
The physical attributes for Keelan obviously stand out. But can you tell me a little about his processing ability?
Yeah, you know, for Keelan, one of the things I love about him is that's why he's here playing quarterback at Alabama. Is he certainly has athletic ability, but You know, I told him if that's all they ever say about you, that would be an insult. And, you know, he takes that very seriously, that he knows, you know, playing quarterback and understand process and, you know, how to get through reads quicker is what's going to make him a complete player. And, you know, I would never want that stereotype for him that he ends up just being a runaround guy back there. And he's not. You know, I mean, he's an incredibly bright kid that understands pretty complex read progressions for a redshirt freshman. And so as long as we keep him in those progressions and keep it friendly for him, he's going to do great. Yeah. Oh, man, there's a bunch of them. You know, I think it starts with Marshall Pritchett. He's a guy that's just, he's stepped up as a blocker. He's become a more complete player in that regard, where I think he was viewed as a guy kind of going into spring and summer, like, can he do, like, line of scrimmage, is this guy going to be able to get it done? And so he took that part, you know, really seriously, and I think he got a lot better at it. But the playmaker part in Marshall is he's a weapon out there. You know, he can truly block, you know, and then expand the outside, get a mismatch on a safety and really play ball. So I think, you know, for his standpoint, he's doing a great job. Caleb has, you know, both of those guys, I think, have done a really good job of attacking their weaknesses. So Caleb has really become a formidable blocker, you know, where I think as a young player last year, that was a little more difficult for him. So now I think Caleb is really becoming that true 50-50 Y. Danny Lewis, you know, is limited on the reps he gets, but he's as good an end-line guy as you're going to see in the SEC, and the same with Josh Ford. Josh Ford is as dominant a player on the line of scrimmage as anybody you're going to see. So those two guys as true blockers, and they all can catch. And they all those guys can catch the football. Jay Lindsey has a ton of, like, just savvy and, you know, toughness, and he's got an edge to him that our offense loves. So they're all showing up.
What would it look like for a college program to have someone from an NFL training camp after this fall?
Well, who's it going to be? listen, if I had that all figured out, I'd be in Vegas right now doing something else. But I think, obviously, anytime, you know, in the situation any college football program's in, if you can add a player to the roster, you know, you'd love to be able to do it if it's within the confines of the rules. But, you know, right now it's just, I don't think anybody really knows. You know, I think they're working through a lot of stuff there. But, you know, you can improve a roster. I think there isn't a team in the country that wouldn't like to do that.
Thank you.
You bet. Thanks, y'all.
All right, there's Ryan Grubb. Dad, any thoughts about what Coach Grubb had to say there?
I thought, you know, he's positive, as you stated. You know, you can be over positive or you can be under positive. You know, they all are sure. Bad. He said too much, but I think he told what he felt about each player and you know, the pluses of the player rather than the minuses of the player. And to me, when you think about things, playing offensive football is a complicated thing. Reading the defenses, being out there for the first time ever. It's kind of like my golf game. I go out every day and I hit balls. And I say this to the guys that ask me, I say, I'm hitting them really good, but I haven't been to the golf course. When I go to the golf course, I ain't gonna play that good. I'm not a good player. So it's a little bit like the same thing. You get out and practice. And when you go to play, it's like my golf game. You're in a situation where, you know, you play well, but maybe you don't play quite as well as you played in practice. That's the way it is.
Yeah. Sometimes the media tries to, I mean, I think they, and it's fine, yeah. They're out there, but they try to act like they know more than they know. Yeah. How is he pre-snap? Like, what? Yeah. Like, yeah. You don't, I mean, you wouldn't even know what he's doing pre-snap.
They could spell pre.
Is he? How does he process everything? Oh my God. So we want to sound important. No, we watch the ball. We pre-snap and whether he gets us in the right play. I guess you could ask him. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with asking him that, but Ryan Groh is probably saying, "What? Okay, could you walk me through what the pre-snap, what he's supposed to do there?" So hopefully he has gotten better at those things. You know, when you hear about – boy, I tell you what, they have praised Ryan Williams. So I hope he plays as well as they have been talking about. If he does, then he's going to be first-team All-American for sure.
28 half points, not enough points.
Yeah, so, I mean, he is going to chase. He may catch more balls than anybody in the history of Alabama. And hopefully that's true and that he is as good as they say. But it's like Dad said, it's practice. So when those balls hit his hands in the game, hopefully he takes them, he catches them. This year, last year he dropped them. Hopefully this year he'll catch them. And if he plays as well as what they've said he's doing, then he's going to have a special year. But he's also going to have a target on his back when you talk about guys being that good. Somebody's want to prove a point and say, Coach, let me get him. I got him tonight. Wherever he lines up, I'm going to go get him. And we'll see if he can. See if they
you
can
don't have, you, well, yeah, you don't want to use the word best ever. You don't know when you use the word ever.
No, I don't think anybody said that, but they are.
No, they didn't. But, you
but they are high on him. When maybe maybe he's playing that well. All right, we want to thank Yellowwood Pressure-Treated Pine from Great Southern. They brought you this 7 o'clock hour. Always remember, guys, if it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Big Ten Conference and the SEC officially banned players who signed with a pro league. LSU was signing two guys who'd been in NFL camps. Patriots running back Travion Henderson missed practice with an ankle injury. The mixed doubles team of Carlos Alcaraz and Serena Williams won their first rounder at the U.S. Open, but then lost a quarterfinal. In the WNBA, Dallas got a victory to clinch a playoff spot. To Major League Baseball, the White Sox beat Texas 11-7. Cleveland still 2.5 games back in the AL Central after a comeback 10-inning win at the Angels 8-6. The Guardians have won 6 in a row. Pittsburgh homered in the 9th to beat the Padres 1-0. Arizona with a late comeback edged the Cubs 5-4. Atlanta over the Dodgers 4-3 with a run in the bottom of the 8th that ends LA's 6-game winning streak. Kansas City won its 9th in a row 5-3 at Toronto. Boston won in 11 innings at Miami.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We are moving right along, but things are getting a lot more volumized if you're traveling on the Northport freeways. 69 southbound at Union Chapel. Watch out for heavy delays. Those are going to take you back to Charlie Shirley Road. And we got the usual slows on 43 southbound onto McFarland. Actually,
new purchase. Plus, check out the new Big Game Headquarters menu featuring the affordable All-Stars. The Hillcrest Huddle at Bomb Hours Tuesdays on Tide 100.9 FM.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And welcome back to the second hour of Inside the Locker Room. We'll get right to the Yellowwood Hotline. We'll talk a little Tuscaloosa Toyota. Dad, I know the coffee tasted good in Gordo this week. The breakfast has been good. Gordo knocks off Fayette. What a win. 33-27. I don't know if there's any home cooking. I'm sure Justin and them were breaking it down, but they better put this one away because they got to travel to Bibb County this week, and which would not be easy. Big win for the Green Wave, and Tuscaloosa Toyota was honored out there. Tell us what all went on out there, Justin.
Yeah, so it was a great night. We didn't get any rain or didn't have any pauses in play, and it was a great night. Now, obviously, there were some mistakes. Gordo made some mistakes, laid the ball on the ground. I think 3 or 4 times, which cost them, I know, at least giving up two touchdowns inside their own territory. So obviously we could play better, but a good opening win against a really good team. Fayette has a, you know, I think I told y'all last week, I mean, those guys were returning their whole team back, and we're breaking in some new kids. So it was good to get out and get that first win.
Dad, you heard that now, Justin. Basically trying to tell you they're 14 to 18 points better had they not laid the ball on the ground. So
well, if something happened, they lost, he'd been fussed about those
people. Well, yeah, bumps. He would say they didn't work on protecting the ball enough in practice. So, well, you going to Bibb County this weekend, Justin, or Friday night?
I would tell you, even though, you know, the running backs and the quarterback and, you know, all the skill guys get the deal. I know David was standing with me on the sidelines. He got to see a Gordo's starting tailback. He's a ninth grader, and he is the real deal. Trust me. Carried it for, I don't know, around, I think, 100 and maybe 50-something yards, two touchdowns, and David was kind of blown away by that kid's age and what he could do. So that one was a good one. But, yeah, we'll travel to Bibb County this week, face another good team, and, you know, hire once again to face the team a little bit. Have a little bit more depth than us. We'll have to play better than we did last week to win, that's for sure.
Well, you better be careful. That guy's that good, Justin. They got NIL money over in Georgia. You'll turn your head and that boy will be gone. He'll be moved out of that house. So y'all better keep that house surrounded.
Son, We're gonna have to work out a deal for him. How about that?
Yeah, well, you better, because if you don't, somebody in Georgia will. So we can talk off the air on that. So,
that's right. All right.
Don't be bragging on him publicly.
I recommend keep that, Venza.
Yeah, keep that down the down low there, Justin. You start bragging on that ninth grader, somebody's gonna say, "You got a ninth grader up there, Gordo. Let's go over and find Thompson will be over there trying to give his mom a job." So be careful. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Tell everybody about the night there with Tuscaloosa Toyota. That was great. I did see David. I think David even maybe said something about that kid that you're talking about, the running back there. But Tuscaloosa Toyota does a lot for the community. You guys got a great product. Tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah, you know, get to have, you know, Gordo and Fayette playing each other, and they kind of honor Tuscaloosa Toyota for us giving back to the community. And you know, Gordo is one of those places that is in our market. And, you know, we do so many things in the community, and, you know, and that's part of the business. It's the service department. It's the community. You know, it's giving back, and it's doing the things to help people out in those areas. And Gordo is one of those places that we do that. And, you know, the community's loyal to us. And, you know, and the assistant principal was over there looking at the vehicle yesterday, you know. And so, yeah, that's just one of the areas and one of the towns that we take a lot of pride in doing business. And so David got to come out and enjoy the game, and it was great. And, you know, that's just part of it. You know, if you give back, you get, you know, the benefit of people, you know, putting their, you know, trust in you. And that's what we like to do in the community. And, you know, we enjoy it. We enjoy doing those types of things. So just part of it, you know, part of the success, part of the reason of what we do is the community.
Justin, some people like to come to the dealership. Some people like to do stuff without really talking to anybody. That you guys have a tremendous website there. I look at it every day when I talk about you guys. There's probably, you can do everything on the website. You can even start the process of trading your car in. You can purchase the car, do the financing. So this website there is quite a tool for somebody, maybe if they're not even in Tuscaloosa, that they can go on and get the process started and pretty much almost take it all the way to the end, can't they?
Yeah, and it makes it real easy for the people that we do out of town.
Yeah.
You know, because we do a lot of businesses in Mississippi. I mean, we do a lot of business with, you know, in the state of Mississippi and Georgia and, you know, a lot of those places, Florida. I've got a certain area where I've got a community of people that buy cars from me. And so when we do that, they're able to do pretty much everything online, DocuSign their paperwork. We get drivers, they take the car to them, and, you know, they don't even have to get in their vehicle and do anything as far as coming to us. It's all handled online. And we don't just do that for, out of town. I mean, we do that for in-town people. Mostly, a large majority of our customers, the deal's done, everything's wrapped up before they ever get there, and you cannot do that without having successful website, and that's what we have. And you can do everything. And it's not just buying a car, like you said. I mean, it's renting a car. It's setting up service. You know, a lot of college students are in town. Their parents want them to, you know, to for everything to be easy for them because they got class. And, you know, they want to know that they're taken care of. So everything can be done right there at the click of a button on our website, TuscaloosaToyota.com.
Yep. That anything for Justin?
No, not a thing. I'm enjoying my automobiles, no doubt about it.
Has he called you this week, Justin?
No, he didn't. He hadn't needed anything this week. Yeah. He knows he can call me.
So what do you, when his number flashes up on your phone, what is the first thought that goes through your mind?
I call it back like I call you. I don't call you.
Well, what's the first thought that goes through your mind?
You know, hopefully I can, hopefully I'm not with somebody and I can answer. And when I do, I know that I've got the people in places to take care of. And see, Wimp knows he's got one service advisor. He knows Paul Harden, so he's got all the people in his pocket. He don't. It ain't just me. So he knows what we're going to do to get him taken care of.
He's met some people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, good. He knows. He's tight with a service manager and Steve Woods, who's been there a long time. Service advisor.
I know what I did when I recruited.
Oh, so he knows. He's skipping the line, basically. He knows who to call when he needs certain things. So he don't just need you now, Justin. He's got other people over there. So, anyway, that's good.
Wimp has never got on the website, trust me.
Huh?
Wimp's never got on the website and had to set up a service appointment.
As long as he got that number in his phone, he's good, right?
Absolutely.
They do a good job.
Yeah.
I don't have no problem.
All right, Justin, thanks. You traveling to Bibb County?
We are traveling to Bibb County. Mm-hmm. Listen, we've got 5 kids with my last name on the team. So
be careful now, my boy. I guess he's still playing football. Wes Cash, is he the quarterback still?
Yeah, he's the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Be careful.
Yeah, he can play. We know that. Yeah. He started at quarterback against us last year.
Okay.
You know, I think we beat them last year in the fourth quarter, and then the year before we beat them in overtime. So I know they got it lined up for us.
I'm gonna call Wes today.
Yeah, we're not fooled by we know they got it lined up for us. And we're gonna play well.
Don't be fumbling.
I'm telling you, we laid the ball down. And a couple times the kids was just trying to be aggressive. Like one punt return, kid was just trying to make a play, got hit from behind. You know, I mean, you know how it is. And you're gonna make mistakes in the first game. But we overcome them, and they were resilient. Won it in the fourth quarter, and you know, gave themselves some breathing room. Got up by a couple scores and won the game. But you know, this week we know what we're up against.
High school football makes me so mad, though. Every time team will score a long touchdown and throw on the road, you look over there and that yellow flag's laying on the ground. And you can't
–
it ain't like you can rewind it back and see if the guy actually did hold or whatever. They throw more flags in high school off of big plays than I've ever seen in my entire life. So, anyway, that's frustrating, Justin. Justin? We appreciate you, my man. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Yeah, next week we'll be getting ready for Alabama,
there
right?
There you go. That's it. Thank you, sir.
It's around the corner. Thank you. Here. Yep, y'all have a great day.
Go to the website, TuscaloosaToyota.com, or swing by Skyland Boulevard, and they'll take absolutely great care of you. All right, we'll get to break here, get to Bill Cameron, find out what's going on down on the plains with the Auburn Tigers. They're going through mock game week. We'll find out what that means. You're listening to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We are moving about here, a little on the slower side on 69 northbound onto Skyland Boulevard. The usual heavies will take you back there to right around Colusa Avenue. Colusa Avenue is also very slow as you try to hook up to 69. Now, meantime, on Skyland itself between McFarland and 69, you can
event at Tuscaloosa Mazda. New location, corner of Skyland East Boulevard and Palisades Drive. TuscaloosaMazda.com.
For details, visit TuscaloosaMazda.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing,
rely on two lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Inside the Locker Room, get right to the Yellowwood Hotline, the ESPN 106.7 The Drive, down in Auburn, Opelika, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. Bill Cameron. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Hey, Bill. Good morning.
Hey, guys.
Go ahead, Ed.
60,000 people that root for Auburn in Atlanta, and the only one for Baylor will be the parents of the players. That's got a real advantage there. I'm looking at it real heavy as my blue plate. I like it. Well, good quarterback. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, it doesn't look like they were going to send that many if the game was played in Auburn. So, I mean, for the Auburn fans that they were hoping the game was at Jordan-Hare, I mean, it's definitely going to be that home field type advantage. And they're going to make an awful lot of money for NIL. And, everybody's really excited about it. Let's see what happens. I mean, both these teams, they have so many new players. I mean, they've got a guy who's made some big plays, DJ Lagway, and then of course Byron Brown and a lot of his teammates on offense went into Gainesville and beat Florida and DJ last year. So, I think everybody's ready for it to go ahead and get here.
Well, DJ is of course a great defense coordinator. Tell our listeners the difference in Auburn's offense versus last year's.
Well, I mean, first of all, everybody's on the same page. Everybody knows what to expect. You've got a quarterback, a center, three receivers that have been playing together for multiple years under the same offensive coordinator and head coach, and got the same offensive line coach and wide receivers coach as they had a year ago. So, the biggest difference, well, I'll tell you the biggest difference, though, Wimp, we've been talking about, thought about this the last few days, and it's the first time really since 2018 that there hasn't been some kind of, if not controversy, question of who really is the quarterback. I mean, when Bo came in as a true freshman, there were people that thought, well, you know, he needs to wait his time and start. And then when Brian Harsin came in, he immediately, said that Bo wasn't the automatic starting quarterback, that he'd have to go through a quarterback challenge and a competition. And there's no question. There's no question who the quarterback is. It's Byron Brown. It's his team. He's just a guy that everybody on the team right now looks up to. So it ought to be a much more competent offense. I mean, Auburn moved the ball last year, you know, between the 20s. They were awful in the red zone. They were an offense that faded in the fourth quarter, and they have really they've really worked on stamina and conditioning, and they've got guys that have had success in the fourth quarter and in the red zone now that are out there. So it's just a more confident offense. It should be a more competent offense.
We're talking with Bill Cameron. Bill, you know, it's Coach Golish and a lot of the staff members' first year with these players. I mean, there probably are some holdovers, but his way is new to everybody, except for the guys that came obviously with him from South Florida. I think it's a pretty good idea. They're having a mock game week, so they're treating it just like they would do in a normal game week, and because they don't know, it's a whole new staff there now. Whether they'll do it next year or not, I don't know, because most of these guys will go through it. But what does that exactly mean as far as what they're doing? I thought it was a pretty darn good idea.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a lot of the, you know, game day walkthroughs and something that seemed like a mock game day, but I think it's a very smart idea when you have as many new players. What Coach Golish was saying to us is that, you know, they don't want to go out there and go into the first ball game not really sure of what their plan is every day. I mean, he's a guy that really does have every minute of every day already scripted and planned out, and he wants his players to be on that type routine. It's sort of like practicing. You know, when you're a little kid, and I remember coaching my kids in T-ball, and the head coach was, you know, his big thing is the more you practice, the better you play, and sure, that's one of the oldest idioms that there is in sports, but it's sort of like that. I mean, they want them to understand, all right, here's what we do on Monday, and here's what we're going to do on Tuesday, and so forth all through the week, and have it be the same every week, so that first ball game, they're not really learning there. By the time they get to next week, they will have already done it all this week, and they know exactly what the routine is. And no, the players from South Florida said he did that. He did that down there, and he's been doing it. Alex said that it really started back when he was at Oklahoma State with Mike Gundy, and they went into their first ball game, and everything sort of seemed to just go crazy. They thought they were going to do something, but it didn't work, and they had to change. And they may have won the ball game, but he said that he's never going to do that again. He wants to make sure that he is prepared for everything. He is he's a guy who's very attentive to detail, and the players seem to appreciate it. They like being on a routine and not having to really question and wonder what the situation, what the plan is going to be from day to day.
Yeah, when you install, there are certain things you do each day. And will they go as far as stay in the hotel on Friday night?
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I don't think so. We didn't. He didn't mention that. I don't know for sure. So I thought maybe they would, but I haven't heard that that's the case. So they'll do just about everything else. I know they're going to have. They're going to load up and have pregame meal and do all that as well. But I mean, it's not just going to be walking into the stadium and checking the headsets and knowing who's where as far as the coaches are concerned, though.
Yeah, that.
A win means that Auburn people have decided that they got the right person and the money's going to come in. I think for money, a win is big here. They're sitting there waiting to see, did we get the right guy? Whatever. But I think the money is going to pull because they love Auburn. The Auburn people, 60,000 people there. A win, any win's big. But I think particularly for this game and the money factor at Auburn, this is a big game.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, boy, you lose this one and people will wonder, you know, what the heck? Because you beat this Baylor team by 14 points last year. Pretty handily. So I think the expectation is, hey, we want to see some improvement offensively, and sure, I think most people are expecting a win. I mean, Auburn can't afford to overlook this and get off to a slow start by any means.
We're talking with Bill Cameron, ESPN 106.7, The Drive. Bill, yesterday the SEC decided they're not going to take NBA players. You've signed a G League contract, NFL contract. You can't come back. WNBA. They didn't say anything about baseball, but I'm sure that will be incorporated as well. But I would think the commissioners of the four big leagues got together, because if the Big Ten was taking them, I don't know if the SEC would have said, we can't take them, because the coaches would have been screaming, well, they can take them, we got to be able to take them. But I think maybe the four conferences all finally got on the same page. Maybe Greg Sankey had the first time maybe to sit down with all the presidents and tell them the direction of where everything's going. So I think it's a good step. I think it'll help this College Sports Act pass. And I don't think you can take this to court all you want, but if Auburn and Alabama and these people don't offer these kids, then they can't go there. And so I think it was a pretty big step, but I think they had to get everybody on board before one would do it. Did you see it the same way?
Yeah, I wish they'd gone that little step further, sort of like the Big Ten did, and said what they're going to do instead of just that it's going to be enforced.
Yeah,
because we don't know, what the penalties would be. I think the Big Ten pretty much stepped out there saying that a head coach could be suspended for half the season if they do something like that. So no, it's a step in the right direction. It's a half step slow. I'm a little disappointed that the SEC hasn't been a little more proactive with this. And it'll be really interesting to see now that LSU's planning on bringing these guys in. You would think that this would be something like the Big Ten, where the ADs were in unanimous agreement that they wanted to do it, as well as the faculty reps. But is LSU going to continue? I mean,
I don't think they'll bring them in now, Bill. Do you? I don't think they will.
I hope not. I absolutely hope not. I mean, yeah. Lane has said, he doesn't like it, but he doesn't want to do it if anybody else is. Well, if nobody else in the SEC is going to do it, then maybe they won't. And that would be a big, big step, because I understand players who would have had a fifth year that felt like they're left out. But once you go ahead and sign a professional deal, I don't think there's any way they should come back. It's a shame, but that's just the way it needs to be treated. So, hopefully this does settle that, and we at least know what the rosters are heading into the season now.
Yeah, I didn't have as big a problem with the Cleveland Brown kid, because he didn't know. He's a 20. But the kid from St. John's that Will Wade got, I mean, you talk about slapping the SEC right in the face. Will Wade, I think that was the one that was just ridiculous, to be quite honest with you, Bill.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's played pro ball for a year. I mean, that's not the same thing by any means. So yeah, hopefully we can bring a little bit of sanity back into it, and once we get through this year, I think all right, now there won't be any reason to say I didn't know any better, and if you forego your eligibility, that's what you've done. But I do understand the. It was bizarre. Why didn't the NCAA, instead of waiting till June and saying it's going to start now, they could have done it a month earlier, and let the players have the option. Say, look, you can either come back for a fifth year, but if you decide you're going to make yourself available, then you're gone.
Yeah.
For the future of Auburn, have they done a good job in being very, very well organized recruiting? And having Auburn Day and that kind of stuff that they usually do, are they on the right page there for the future?
I don't think there's any question. This is a very organized staff led by Alex Golish. I mean, they've done a couple of things, and one of the things. I mean, obviously, when you're recruiting too, you want to try to recruit kids that you can retain. Retention is very big. I thought what they did this past weekend inviting. So many former players, but I had over 300 former players that came in, and over 1,000 folks were there just among family and former players and their families coming in. I think the current players seeing that and recruits seeing that is something that really is going to help them continue to go out. But no, I mean, I've been really impressed. I mean, the fact that they've got a class that's somewhere around the top 10 right now for the upcoming season, and they haven't even played a game for the recruits to see what kind of offense what to expect offensively and defensively from an Alex Golish team, I think says an awful lot about their approach and And I think their ability to go out and bring in pretty good talent that's got a chance to get a little better if they just win a few ball games.
You know, the Alabama fan, I don't know how happy they were with the season last year, even though they made it to Atlanta. Right. They made it to the playoff. It was how they lost in the games that they lost. I think they were just just so gut-wrenching to lose like that to Florida State and obviously Indiana and Georgia beat them in the SEC championship pretty bad. What is there a win total for Auburn that the fans would be happy with? I mean, you want to win every game, but you also want to be in every game. They had some games last year, quite honestly, if the ball would just bounce one way or maybe just one play, Hugh Freeze may still be there. What is that win total? How do they need to look? Do they need to be competitive in every game and win eight games? What would satisfy the Auburn fan?
Yeah, it's hard to say exactly. I mean, because I remember, you know, Coach Dye's first year, Auburn was 5-6. They've done that the year before. Coach, Tubbs' first year, Auburn's 5-6. They'd been, you know, had a losing record the year before. So it's not all record, although the record is important. Look, Auburn needs to they need to get back over the 500 mark, and I'm not, and 7-5 is not going to thrill everybody. But if it were 7-5 and you were a team that's right there with and competing really hard and playing, you know, just hard nosed physical football, you'd need to win a big ball game though. I mean, Auburn doesn't they don't need to be non competitive in losses, and they need to beat somebody that they that folks don't expect them to beat going into the season, be it an Alabama, Georgia, an LSU, an Ole Miss, you know, one of those four that are ranked in the in the top 10 or 15, or Tennessee on the road. I mean, those are five games that they're going to be underdogs in all those five. They can pull off a win in one of those and be competitive in the others. That'll be a definite step in the right direction. I'm more optimistic about this team just having watched practice here in the fall than I was going in, but I'm still not ready to say this team's going to win 9 or 10 games. But I'm also not ready to say that that they might not have a chance to do something like that if things go well.
Yeah, if you knock off Alabama, that's like 3 wins, right? If you come up to Tuscaloosa and win your first year.
Yeah, no kidding. It's that would be pretty big. Yes, question about it.
Yeah. No doubt. Dad, anything else for Bill before we let him go?
No, I'm fine.
It's exciting, even though they're not any humongous games. I think everybody's just excited to watch football.
Oh, yeah.
This weekend, Bill. And then it'll be a little bit of different deal in the air next week with it being game week for all the SEC teams. So it's almost here. But tell everybody where they can find you guys and get all your great stuff down there.
Yeah, it's the drive every afternoon, 4-6 on ESPN 106.7. We'd love for you to join us. You can check us online at ESPNAU.com or go to RadioAlabama.net. And if you can't join us live, download the podcast.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, guys, have a great week.
All right, there's Bill Cameron. I'll just tell them about Bryant Bank, and we'll get to break, get this vinegar tip for this Wednesday.
Bryant Bank, outstanding bank that you can walk in, probably know the bankers. Know all the people that work in there, or even sold by mail. If you've been around Tuscaloosa for a long time, or this in the state of Alabama, and you've moved away, you can still bank with Bryant Bank. Personal and business accounts, both accounts will be very well monitored. They'll be darn sure that your money is safe. They'll do everything they possibly can to help you with any transactions you have, from taking your money and moving it to a different situation. Checking account to a savings account. So go by Bryant Bank. Tell them you heard Barry and I on Inside the Locker Room, and that you want to open a personal and business account, or just one of the two. And I think that you'll find that Bryant Bank will do a good job for you.
All right. We got the vinegar tip. We'll open up the phone lines 205-342-9904. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM, WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Things are beefing up a bit on University Boulevard now, and this specifically is in the westbound lanes at Crest Ridge Road. Pretty much the normal activity there, normal grind. Now, we travel with ease on Skyland between McFarland and 69, not seeing any severe delays.
Enjoy live music by McKay Harrison, food, drinks, and more at Primetime After Dark, Friday from 5 till 9 p.m. at Primetime Men's Clinic, 69 North in Northport.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance and is backed by an entire team of people you know and trust. Rent a Toyota and let's go places. Reserving yours is a breeze at TuscaloosaToyota.com.
Tune in every Friday night for the Last Call Scoreboard Show. Every Friday night starting at 10. Join the Tide 100.9 staff as they break down the latest high school football games in West Alabama. Every Friday night starting at 10. We'll bring you recaps of the latest action in West Alabama. The Last Call Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Bevel State Community College.
Google US Mobile. Just go to US Mobile subreddit. Just search for US Mobile and make a decision for yourself. If you're ready, visit usmobile.com.
Consumer Reports does not endorse products or services.
Crimson Tide Today, brought to you by Pearl River Resort. PearlRiverResort.com. DCH Health System, online at dchsystem.com. Tuscaloosa Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa and Tuscaloosa Mazda.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Kaneka Sausage, a true Southern flavor since 1947. Order online at KanekaSausage.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Huber. On Thursday's edition of Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, we'll be joined by Alabama Volleyball's Hannah Perrons.
Was this always the goal to play for the Crimson Tide?
So I grew up an Alabama fan my whole life. Like, I moved here when I was five. I was born in Salt Lake City. Grew up an Alabama fan. When I started recruiting, I wanted to go kind of far, like away from home at first. But then when Rashinda reached out to me and I talked to her and I came on my visit, like, I just, like, automatically knew I had to come here. That was a big thing for me. Like, the second I started talking to them and the second I stepped on campus, I was like, wow, the beautiful campus, the atmosphere of all the athletics, everything. Like, I couldn't pass it up. And, like, ever since, I've been so happy with my decision. And, like, looking back, I'm like, I was an Alabama fan the whole time. I don't know how I ever thought I could go anywhere else.
I'll have more in a moment.
Favorite jeans, favorite shirt. Got Kaneka Sausage and I'm firing it up, yeah. Everybody knows how to get my grill on. You can smell that flavor up and down the road. It's a little taste of heaven, everybody knows. It's how I get my grill on. Kaneka Sausage. It's just a little taste of heaven.
Join us tonight for Hey Coach and the Kalen DeBoer Show, live from Baumhauer's Victory Grill in Tuscaloosa, starting at 6 p.m. You can listen to Hey Coach on our full radio network, the Varsity Network app, as well as a video stream on all CTSN social media platforms at UA_CTSN. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Kaneka Sausage. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Yes! Roll Tide all the time.
This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
The home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good. So good.
All right, welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. This Vinegar Tip brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. Give Michael and his staff a call for all your insurance needs. You won't regret it. We've done it, and he's taken great care of us. 205-752-8500. What is the tip for this Wednesday?
Well, I moved over to the bathroom from the kitchen, and tomorrow I'm going to give you a great shower head hints, but I'm not going to give that to you today. I'm going to tease you about tomorrow because it's a good one. Today's just okay. For tub and shower savers, you need to wipe your tub and the tile, and especially the shower. Your showers, even though you're barefooted when you're in the shower, stuff gets all over the shower. You don't clean it very good. It's a mess, as well as a tub. So you need to wipe the tub, wipe the bottom of the shower and the tile and the shower curtain on the door with undiluted vinegar. That way you remove the grime and the mildew and scum, and then you rinse it with water. So the shower curtain needs to be cleaned, the bottom of your tub, and also the bottom of your shower needs to be cleaned at times, and mine needs to be cleaned now. And I think that will make it more sanitary, a little bit better for you. Tomorrow, I'm going to give you a great tip on how to make that water come out of that shower head. Boy, it's a good tip. So anyway, that's it for today.
All right, that's brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, 205-752-8500. All right, as we pick these games, the games that Dad does will be brought to you by Brian Harden Construction. And I'm going to do the pork skin pick of the week, sponsored by Hometown Kettle Corn. Go follow them on Facebook. The pork skins that they have, a variety of flavors there, are absolutely amazing. And the how you order and all is right there on the website. If they're at a market or something over the weekend, they'll usually post that as well. So I would look forward to having these picks for you each week. Hopefully we'll hit some. And so we still trying to decide on this week's pick. I don't know exactly what direction I'm going, but I do already know. And I told Chase, and Chase wrote it down, where I'm going the second week, unless something really changes with the line. So, all right, to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Cowboy?
Hey, Barry and Coach, you know, with the passing of Dolly yesterday, Dolly Parton, it kind of brought back a memory to me. My father and I, in 1975, we were going to a Hartford cattle sale on Monday in Elba, Alabama, but we were staying Sunday night at the Holiday Inn Troy, and we were sitting with a couple people in the hotel there, restaurant, and we look up, and my dad said, "Oh my goodness, look who's coming in here." And it was Dolly Parton. She had that big, you know, bouffant kind of wig on and everything, and she was quiet. She didn't say much, but I'll never forget that. She came in there and sat kind of at a side in the corner over there at a table. But I don't know if you all any Dolly Parton stories, but that was my...
Yeah, I got to see her. I said it earlier. I'm not going to go into it, but... We were over in Japan. I think it was Japan. Kentucky was over there too, and touring. And we ran into Dolly, and I got to shake hands with her. Had a picture made. I got it.
It's funny you say that. Cynthia Scott dug back in. It was 1979, and she dug back in the pictures and got pictures of that on Facebook of y'all over there with Dolly Parton. Not with, but y'all saw Dolly Parton in Japan.
Did.
So.
That's awesome. Yeah, she's the kind of person that everybody liked her, you know. She crossed all kind of lines, and everybody liked her.
Yeah.
Last night I was looking on the SEC network, and it was about 10:30 or so, and they had this celebration of life of Skip Berkman come up. Man, that was good. Ben McDonald got up there. What a leader Skip Berkman was. Oh, he told some awesome stories. I don't have time to get into them all, but this one right here resonates with me. It said when Skip first got to LSU, Louisiana people kept calling him Slip Bertram. Oh, Slip Bertram. And first year or so, he went out there to... take a picture out of the game, you know, go up to the mound, and he kept hollering, you know, he walked back to the dugout, and one of the LSU fans hollered, "Hey, Slip, we need more points out there. We need more points." And Skip looked up at him, put his hand up, and says, "It's runs in baseball."
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. And, well, You know, boy, that Skip Bertman, he was something else, man.
Boy, yeah, what? Well, legend.
Y'all can see that show. Go back and watch it.
What was it on? Was it on SEC Network or ESPN?
SEC Network. I fell asleep on it last night at midnight. I started watching it at 10:30. I just fell out.
10:30. Ooh, you late. You're a night owl.
Yeah, well, I kind of catnapped about 10 and woke back up at 10:30 and kind of started watching it. Speaking of Celebration of Life, how was Joe Dean Jr.'s deal? I don't know much about
it. It was really nice. I went and saw a lot of people that I hadn't seen in years. Biggest problem I had, there's so many people there that I knew, but I couldn't put their name with their face, to be honest with you. But it was very nice. They did a nice job with it. The most difficult thing for me was when they sang Amazing Grace, and it was a heartwarming deal for me and because of Annette. But they did a good job with it. I had Joe's wife come. She called me. She wanted to come to see me, and she came to Tuscaloosa, and I took her to lunch. I hadn't seen her in years, 10, 15. I had seen her twice when I had gone over there, I'm sorry, to see Joe, because I had checked on Joe, tried to get him out of bed and take him somewhere a couple of times. So I got to visit with her. I didn't see her yesterday. I mean, Monday. It was a heartwarming deal and had a lot of some of the assistant coaches. His daughter's a very, very pretty lady, and she did a nice job, and the son did too. Both of them spoke very well. A former coach spoke, and one of his players spoke and did very even, and it was very nice.
That's awesome. Any stories that make people feel good, kind of like that Skip Bertman story, or?
Well, the stories you told, and I visited with the guy who's on our radio show that did such a good job.
Ron Higgins.
He was there because he and I were at the camp together and years and years and years ago. And I saw a lot of former coaches and former people that I hadn't seen in a long time. Huge crowd, absolutely huge. It was done well. They sang the choir at Birmingham Southern sang, recorded, and it was when you got to singing it. It was pretty sad. But I got to see a lot of people I hadn't seen in a long time.
Well, that's awesome. Joe was a great man, Senior and Junior. That story that Ron Higgins wrote about the pool baseball was hilarious.
That was funny.
Ron, they beat Ron up pretty hard, but he kept battling.
You can see it happening. Good stuff from Ron. So, and that article was really good. So, especially if you knew the Deans, and it was really, really good. So.
Right. Well, on a real good positive note, how about those kids from Phoenix City, Alabama?
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Man, let's go get that one today against Hamilton.
What time is that game today?
Uh, 6 o'clock Central, it said, on ESPN. I'll be watching.
Yeah, that girl's something else, isn't she?
Oh, Kelsey. Yes, sir.
She's good.
They said that... I guess she'll be a softball player. She can hit the baseball pretty good, too. They said she liked Oklahoma. Maybe we can change her mind.
She ought to get her some NIL money, but of course, if you play back in Alabama, it won't be legal. So I don't know what she's going to do about that. She's worth some money now from Phoenix City, Alabama. Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, they had a team down there, I think in 1999, that won the Little League World Series, and they were kind of based out of Seal, which is right there by Phoenix City in Russell County.
There's a lot of good athletes in Phoenix City. Football, baseball, especially those two sports, is really, really good. So, Cowboy, we got to get out. Thanks for calling, my man.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for today's show. One thing, Andy Henson with Alabama Pro Ross, she knows that you're proud of your property, but the dirt, mold, grime on your brick, stucco, or siding can make even the most well-cared-for home or business seem neglected. Their services include residential, commercial, exterior cleaning, low pressure soft washing, window cleaning, shingle restoration, concrete cleaning, get those driveways, sidewalks cleaned up. He also has a drone to go get the hard to get areas. Give him a call today for the free estimate, 205-799-9069. Expect quality exterior cleaning service for your home or business when you call Andy out at Alabama Pro Wash. The Gary Harris Show is next. So keep it locked in. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody.